The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know, it's one thing to have a love and affection for your pet, but sometimes, you know, it goes a little bit too far.
I'm not even sure I'm one to talk about this. I have 30,000 pictures of my cats on my phone, but we'll talk later.
A family that's horse obsessed today on My Crazy Family.
My crazy
family.
Family.
My
crazy
family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And on Apple Podcasts there, you can get advanced episodes of the show. You can get the full archive of the show, all commercial free. Yes. Just sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can do a yearly or a monthly membership there on our channel and get access to My Crazy Family Plus. So do check that out on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
And it's snowing. So I want to remind people that before Christmas, we are going to be giving away a $500 Amazon gift card. And what we need you to do is review the show. It'd be awesome if you were nice about things, but if you're not, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're one of those negative people and want to leave us a review, go for it. It still counts. And just send a screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. And we might get you a $500 Amazon gift card that you can use to cheer yourself up if all you do is send people horrible ratings.
Yeah, I would get it, and I would put an Alexa in every room of my home with a gift card so I could be monitored at all times. And then at just random moments, it just starts speaking to you. Oh, wait, I already did that.
Yeah, it does happen. Alexa! Yep, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
She's
heard
terrible.
She heard that through the headphones, and it wasn't that loud.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yes, Alexa is.
Yeah, mine's giving me instructions on how to reconnect to the internet.
She is 2 rooms away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too much.
Yeah. It's listening. It certainly is listening. Let's jump into our first story of the day.
All right. It begins like this. I absolutely adore my family. but I hate the fact that I rarely get to see or talk to them because the horse lifestyle takes priority over everything else in their lives. Unfortunately, that's extremely common in the horse world as well. Having grown up in it, I've seen so many backward things like that, where horse people prioritize that hobby, which is really their entire lifestyle, over everything else. When I rode growing up, I had trainers frown upon me prioritizing my job and family, and even had them suggest that I call in sick to work for my lessons, which was just insane to me. It's a pastime, and the only way I could support it was with a job, and no way does a pastime ever come before my family. I'm just really frustrated because my family owns a horse farm, so I rarely ever get to see or talk to them, and it makes me sad. I feel like I'm put on the back burner for their barn family and the horses. And though I grew up in the horse world, I never wanted horses to consume my entire life and always wanted a life outside of them. So I never really fit in with the horse people, and therefore I guess I don't fit in with my own family, which is depressing as hell. I don't know why the horse world is so obsessive like that, because I'm not sure of any other hobby in which people will exclude those who aren't equally obsessed with it. Honestly, I'm so sick of horses. I hate to even look at them, but I can't escape them because my family is so heavily involved in that world and can't seem to get away from it for an hour. I'm beginning to resent the horse world as well, since it's consumed my family and I always found it to be extremely toxic and have so many terrible memories growing up in it. I hate to be this way, but honestly, if horses went extinct, good. I'm so sick of them being part of my life, and I want a completely horse-free life so freaking bad.
I understand. I understand this a bit. Like 15 years ago, I dated fairly seriously a girl who was very, very into the equine culture. And
yeah,
I tell you, it's... if it's your thing, it's your thing. And that's cool. But if it's not your thing, or you're just kind of like, you can't like be passively involved in it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Either you're into it or you're not. It's not like a passive sport. And they all, it has its own language. It has its own passion, and people who are into it talk about it like it is the end all be all of everything. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's, and they, they kind of stick together. Cool. A lot of groups do that are into something that there's that sort of passion for. And I think it's a good thing that there's people that have that sort of passion for that type of animal. But if you're not part of it, it's a weird, hard world to get into if you're truly, you know, not into it. Because they'll sniff you out, pardon the pun, but they will. They'll tell you if you're faking it or just kind of going along with it. And you will eventually get burned out too if it's something you're not that cool or into. It's just like, you know what, I remember the advantages I had back in those days were a lot of the horse things that she would go to were at wineries. So I would they had like they had stables and they would have horse shows. It was just in Upper Michigan, and there was several that had like stables and everything, and they would do like, we're not talking like rodeo yeehaw cowboy equine racing. We're talking more like polo type style, dressage, very disciplined type horse dancing, for lack of a better term, where they're like wearing very proper type suits and outfits. And it's I don't know what the word is, but it's not Yellowstone. It's more like New Hampshire. Or Connecticut.
Right, and isn't it funny too in the horse world how there's like two different sets of outfits? There's the cowboy boots and the hat and the jeans and the flannel shirts. And then on the other side, there's, I don't even know what they're called, but probably the dressage outfits. You know, like I said, I don't know what they're called. I'm not a horse person, but there's, it's like the polo outfits. So there's two different styles of attire for horse people.
Yeah.
It's a weird culture. Mm-hmm. And I've known people in the veterinary world that are very wrapped up in their horses. And I understand why, because they require a lot of attention It's not like a cat where you just clean the litter box, feed them, and give them a pet once in a while. You've got to pay attention to these animals. They are expensive. Mm-hmm. They're big. They live to be 30 years old. So they are quite an investment. And I totally get it.
Sure.
But there is kind of this like culture around it that if you're not part of it,
yeah,
you are not part of it.
You are an outsider. So it gets a little bit weird. Yeah, lots of interesting things in that world. What else we got?
My boyfriend is the most amazing person, and I can't imagine not being with him. Just a little background. He is from South Korea. My mom always said that she finds it, quote, so hard to talk to him because he always seems nervous, unquote. She said this as soon as she met him. I admit he's a bit more shy and reserved, but I'm kind of the same way. He's been having car issues and didn't want to bring it to a mechanic, so my dad helped him today, but my mom made it into a thing that he lacks being assertive and that he would never bring the car to be fixed, had it not been for her dad. She also said that he's so scared to even ask somebody for help. She stated that he won't ever stick up for me, that his anxiety is so noticeable and can only progress, and that I really need to think if I want a future with him. She even saw him today and noticed that he seemed a bit jittery. And she said to him, are you cold or nervous? He gave her the deepest of glares, like, I'm so embarrassed that she would even say that. I noticed my boyfriend seems fine around other people, like my friends, his friends, other social situations. And yes, I see that he can have some anxiety. I have anxiety too, so I get it. I also don't know if him being more reserved can be a result of maybe his culture, but I don't know how to help him. And even if his anxiety is that bad, or if my mom is just making this situation big, I love him so much and I just don't know what to do. I think your mom's being a pain in the ass.
I think your mom is being a pain in the ass. Because I mean, unless
it's bully.
Yeah, I mean, unless this is like utterly debilitating and he's not leaving the house anxiety, then no, people have anxiety. And it sounds like she does too. I almost wonder how much the mom doesn't even recognize that her daughter has anxiety, or if she just has this idyllic, you know, picture of her that, oh, that's not something you have to deal with, or that's not something that you feel or go through.
Yeah, that's a very real possibility.
It's hidden in a lot of people. A lot of people can turn it on and turn it on and off if they need to, but deep down they're still feeling it, and it's draining as fuck to be around people when you're faking it, but you can do it well. I can do it well. I was very much an introvert and very much shy. I learned how to be comfortable in my skin by sitting in a radio studio with no one around. And then that helped me kind of open up. And then going out and doing events and stuff, if it's up to me, if I'm at the fucking car dealership when I was doing that stuff, I would sit in the corner because I didn't want to do anything at those. But sometimes you got to be up and talking, and I can bullshit it, but it is draining. It is draining to me to this day to go to any sort of get together with people that I don't know very well. I hate it. I can do it. I can kind of bullshit my way through it. As long as there's someone there I know that can kind of help direct me around a little bit or give me some introductions. But if I go to something where I know no one, I don't know what to do. I really do not. I've gone to like a father-daughter dance once in a neighborhood that I lived in, and I tried to kind of chat, but it seemed like everybody already kind of had their click. And I don't know how do you do that. I didn't know how to become part of cliques when I was in high school, more or less as an adult. Anything like that. I'm not good. And obviously I do PR, like public facing things for a living, but it's hard for some people. But if you don't, if it's not, like I said, debilitating, then I don't think it's necessarily going to be a hindrance on your life. Yes. If the person's stuck in the corner of their home and not leaving and, you know, demanding that you stay there too, probably not a good match for anyone because that person's not in a healthy place. But if they're just an anxious person, mom can get the fuck over it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, you know, there could be some cultural things in here too, having to do with the potential mother-in-law. But I don't see that there's an issue here. The person's trying. They seem to be in a good relationship, very happy with each other. So what? I mean, like you said, you have anxiety. I have anxiety. Yesterday, I was toying with the idea of going to order a pizza in person at a place that was 3 blocks from my house. Mm-hmm. And I chose not to out of like social anxiety. Yeah, I work from home now. I haven't been out since Tuesday. Yep. And I just didn't feel like going out. I'm like, I don't want to deal with people. So, you know, when you touched on somebody who doesn't want to leave the house, I went, uh-oh. But I get it.
But you do get out.
It's a real thing.
You do get out, though, too. You're not, it's not debilitating when you open the front door and you're like, holy shit, I'm going to, you know, curl up and die. Or I need like a foil blanket to get me out. It's one of those things where it's just, yeah, some people just honestly don't like getting out. And the thing is, every time I do go out and do something that I otherwise would have, a perfect example relating to your pizza. So the other day coming home, it was later. I didn't have time to cook dinner. I had chose to record that night. And I thought, I could just get home and go on Grubhub or whatever and order something. But I thought, you know, the restaurant I wanted to order from is right on my way. Why don't I just run in there quick and we'll get our food. So did that, really didn't want to do that because I didn't want to sit in there and wait and all that. It was a sub sandwich restaurant. Go in and what happens? It takes like 30 minutes to get our fucking order of 2 sandwiches and there's nobody in the place. And they're just so slow. Like one's cleaning the floor. One's like doing something on the back and they're like, not even, I put the order in and they don't even start making it. They're just like, doing other shit. And I'm like, can I get that? You know, because I got to kind of get going here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is an example of people being unaware of their surroundings. Unfortunately, surroundings being you work at a fast food restaurant and people place orders, then you make their food. Some people are oblivious of that. And I was just like, this is why I don't like going into places. Because like this shit happens every time. It's the fucking mutant zombie people that don't know what the fuck is going on at half of these places. And you're just like, what the fuck? It really feels like The Walking Dead. So we got our stuff and went home. But I was like, I should have just went online. It would have showed up at my doorstep. I didn't have to fucking sit there for a half hour and get, you know, kind of like, it's stupid, but I get anxious about it. It's like, come on, I got to get going here. And like, what the fuck are you doing? You start analyzing the people. Like, what are they thinking? Like, what is going through their mind here? And you can't wrap your mind around it. It's like hearing the stories on True Crime Today. You're like, how the fuck did somebody do this? Or why are they? And it's like, oh, well, this is how they're able to like murder someone and dismember them and then go and order Taco Bell. because they can also do this. They can take the order from the person at the restaurant and just go along their day and never make it. It's fucking weird. But I wonder if there's something else about this young man that your mom doesn't like that goes beyond the anxiety. It almost feels like she's kind of picking at straws here.
It does. It's got, I wonder if there's a possible racism thing going on here. And I don't ever want to, you know, always point to that, but no. She felt the need to bring up the fact that he's from South Korea. So I'm wondering, is there something there that is different? Because I'm guessing she's not from South Korea.
Sure. Yeah. The fact that it was brought up in the conversation makes me think that there's an element of that, or at least she suspects there's an element of that somewhere. Otherwise I don't know why it's relevant to the story.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, people got their shit and I don't know. I do what's right. All you can do, you're an adult. Do what's right for you is what you need to do and take it from there.
Yeah. And screw mom. I mean, it's none of her business. If you're happy, if he's happy, what's the problem? It just, you know, mom can deal with her own shit because she's obviously got something going on there that she needs to sit and nitpick at something that is important to you.
And
to me, it sounds like she's a bully as well. I mean, why would you say something like, are you cold or nervous? Why would you say something like that to somebody?
To make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
To kind of rattle them a little bit. I mean, if you're already nervous, the last thing you want is other people to look at you and go, are you nervous? what's wrong with you? What's wrong? What's wrong? Well, tell me what's wrong. Like, there's nothing wrong. I'm just cool. I'm here. Like, I have nothing to say right now. I don't know you well enough to have a conversation. I do that a lot, too. When I'm first meeting people, I'm quiet. And then suddenly people are like, oh, my gosh, he talks a lot. It's like, yes, because I need to get data in my mind about who you are and what is okay to talk about before I feel safe to talk about anything. Because you don't know these days what's going to offend somebody or whatever. So you kind of want to get a gauge on the human being. Once you have that gauge on the person, then it's like, boom, okay, we can talk now. And yeah, the floodgates kind of open up. But that's how I operate. I'm not good at small talk. I don't fucking care about the weather next week. And I'd rather observe and let, especially if it's a group thing and I can watch them interact and see how they go in conversation, maybe chime in every now and then with something. But it's how nervous people or anxious people, we need to feel a level of comfort with those around us before we are able to open up. And once you do, it's great. But that's kind of how it fucking works. It's a survival instinct for us because I think we've been burned too many times of trying to go the other way and jump in too quick. And it's been met at some point in our life with some sort of brick wall or negativity or being made fun of or ostracized. And so we just don't go there anymore. And we'd rather slowly kind of become close with someone through bonding over time than just let's jump off the cliff and see what happens.
Yeah. And this mother really could take this from a different angle and actually try to get to know this person and, you know, form a relationship instead of just these weird ass snowball throwing questions. Like, just be human.
It's so stupid.
If somebody's uncomfortable, try to warm up for them.
That's the thing. That's the only thing you can do. And I've applied this in my life now. As I go through life, especially when I meet people that are, I can tell they're anxious. I can tell they're nervous, especially if they're a bit younger than me. You know, maybe they're in their 20s and I can relate, you know, kind of being that person at that age. And I kind of have the tools to be able to talk in a way that will, you know, make them feel safe and kind of like show it's okay. We can kind of joke a little bit about something here or there. And then suddenly, once you got the comfort, people can warm up. Going and pointing out all the things that you view is wrong with somebody or how they're not being socially right for the moment is not how you're going to get somebody to warm up to you and interact in some way, shape, or form. It's a way to push them away further and make them, And the thing is, I wonder how much of this, too, if she puts this out there into the atmosphere and the ether of the relationship, if at some point the son's going to feel so awkward and it will create a wrench in the neighbor in the relationship because he doesn't want to go and get together for holidays or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And when he starts doing that, then the girlfriend's going to be like, well, why not? And then it starts to create this other, angst that doesn't need to be there, but it's all the making of the mom.
Yep. I can totally see that. That makes perfect sense that, you know, maybe this is her way of chipping away at it too. It's tough.
She's planting a landmine is what she's doing.
Yep.
And
yep, she absolutely is.
Just waiting for the daughter to finally step on it. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right. This one, I come from a rather large and closely knit family. Over the last few years, though, they hardly call or write unless they need something, whether it's a restaurant recommendation or where to buy something. As long as my parents were alive, I'd get news about the extended family. With them gone now, I hardly know what's going on unless I call, which I do despite a busy family life. Lately, though, I've gotten fed up with being the one to initiate the calls, and it would be nice to be on the receiving end of, how are you? How's the family for a change? WhatsApp seems to have become the means of communication, and mostly on the group chat, which I find impersonal, and I miss the connection I used to feel from one-on-one calls. I'm almost on the verge of not bothering to call anymore to ask for or give news, as nobody seems interested anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally get that. You know, we're living in the time of texting is the norm. People don't call people anymore. I've got family members that I only hear from them when there's a problem with their pet.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're a vet tech. Can you tell me what to do? Here's the answer. Here's the answer to every one of your fucking problems with your pet.
Google.
Go call your veterinarian.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea than Google.
That is the answer to every, yes. Yeah. Tony, that's the answer to every problem. You call me in the middle of the night because one of your cats or your dog has a problem. I will take the call. But you know what the answer is going to be? Call your vet.
Hey, Stacy, I'm here. It's 3 a.m. And Snuckles over here is looking at me kind of strange. It's got one eye that's like looking the other way and it's going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And one is staring directly at me. And it's making these strange noises. Oh my God, is that... I think there might be foam coming out of its mouth, too. Should I just, you know, should I change the litter box or go to a more natural food? Maybe one that has more free-range tuna that's been caught naturally where they played a lot of Sade for the tuna before they died and raised it sustainably in a large, close-knit, fundamentalist Christian family and brought the fish to church and put it in the baptismal font every week. I saw Purina has a new line like that. Would that help?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Tony, the answer is if you're concerned about your pet, you need to have it seen by a licensed veterinarian, not your friend who's a vet tech, because I can't do shit.
But they have a restraining order against me.
No, that would be a whole different story then, wouldn't it? But yeah, I totally understand what this person's talking about, that you never hear from somebody unless they need something. Like, can you just reach out and say, hey, you know what? You crossed my mind today. I just wanted to check in and say hi.
I agree. I do think, though, there's a level of... I know my anxiety tells me half the time, even if I think of somebody, it's like, well, that would be weird. Like they, you know, I just call and I just want to say hi, just thinking about you. They'd be like, okay. And it's like, no, that's really it. And I don't. And I think it works. Everybody, I think, has a level of this. We've become so accustomed and conditioned to communicate in these more, I guess, efficient, if we're talking like a business sense of life ways, but relationships with family members should not be viewed as an efficient business sense type of communication. It shouldn't just be, well, so-and-so died, or let me check in on you and see if you're doing anything wrong and criticize something. And now you got my criticism. So go do with it what you will. Live a better, happier, smarter life because I got to criticize you for something. And I know that's going to help lead you along the path of genius. I think you see a lot of that or just being out of touch. I get a lot of out of touch where it's like, huh? I had one the other day from a person. And that should know me pretty well, a family member, and was talking about Halloween decorations. And somehow we take Halloween decorations into a angle that is just like, how the hell did we go here? It was just a picture of something cool. And I said, that's really neat. I wish I had had more time to do more of my stuff this year. And well, you do good enough with it. I'm like, yeah, I just wish, you know, I've been so busy and I really love doing that sort of stuff. And then the question is brought up basically something to the effect of, well, what are you so busy with that you couldn't put up Halloween decorations? And that's my reaction physically. It's just kind of like shaking and laughing. And sometimes if the shaking and laughing don't stop, it gets kind of weird. And then the pets start looking at me like, what the fuck is going on with you? So I'm like, what am I doing? Fuck you. My response is like, well, I'm producing 4 shows that put out like about 17 episodes a week in total, and running a business full time while being a full time dad with my daughter who is homeschooled here. And then trying to keep up with all of that and give her a good life. And then, oh, I have 7 acres of land that I deal with and an inordinate amount of pets. And yes, these are all things I guess I could control. I could get less pets. I could neglect my child or something to make room for more Halloween decorations. But it's the level of cluelessness that comes with a comment like that is insulting. And then people, I don't think a lot of times they realize that they're even insulting someone. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say something like that of, well, what's holding you back from this or that? It's like, well, they're fucking crazy busy. And I get maybe you're not anymore or ever have been, but some of us, holy shit, you have no idea.
And that's the thing. Yeah. You don't know what somebody else is going through. You don't, unless you ask them, like, hey, I feel like you've been really distant from me, or I feel like we're not as in touch as we used to be. Actually communicating what the fuck you think in a kind, compassionate way can go a long way instead of just assuming you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. It would be great to say, you know what, you and I, we used to talk a lot and I really miss you. How about that? Just, I miss you. You don't have to insinuate that, well, you must be really busy, or you have so much going on, or you have too much, you know, you're too busy decorating for Halloween to give a shit about me. How about just saying, hey, I miss you.
Yeah. Or it's like, yeah, you're busy. I hear you, you know, try and make some time for yourself, because that's important. And then it's like, they're not like, and I said that back, and the response back I get is, I wasn't trying to be, I don't know what the word even was, but I thought maybe you were just like busy working on extra projects or something. I'm like, I have no time for extra projects right now. So I don't know. I mean, again, I don't, this person tends to speak like that and then has to walk back a lot. But many times won't walk back. Many times we'll just keep digging in and going, why meant it like this? Or meant it like that? Okay, great. But this is how you came across. And sometimes coming across like that in the capacity that you are to the other person is really hurtful and insulting. And just take a moment to think before you speak. But if you haven't developed that skill by now, you probably won't. So that lends the rest of us to kind of go, well, this is kind of how they are. And if we'd like to have a relationship, we just kind of got a deal. And that's where I'm at. And I'm fine with it because it is what it is. But it's just, you know, I gotta always kind of take it with a grain of salt of like, it wasn't meant like that, but it certainly comes across like that. And it doesn't matter to me either way. It creates more of a headache if I point it out. It creates more of a headache if I'm like, what the fuck? You know, and there is no point in saying what the fuck. So you just kind of go along with it. And like, well, okay, I get it. You didn't mean it that way, but you just want to scream, think before you speak. And it, you know, I don't know. I'm not one that is really happy or likes crafting words for certain people, certain ways either. I'm a very direct person, but there are certain times where I've developed that skill. For a long time, I did not have that skill. And I think it's because that's, you know, how I was brought up. But I realized, I get a better response from people if I think a little bit, if I put myself in their shoes for a second and respond in a way that is more relatable and caring than accusatory. So, and I'm not a fucking snowflake.
Well, I think that comes from maturity too, though.
And there's snowflakes, you know, out there where even if you do, you know, come from a place of not, and you do word it correctly, so like, I still, you're even like recognizing that I'm fucking something up, you know, or even like hinting at it. Like, and a lot of times with some snowflakes, it's like, well, it's because you are fucking something up and I'd like you to learn. But if you're not, you're just kind of digging at nothing. It's like, stop.
Yeah, it's hard. And like I mentioned, it comes from a place of maturity. I don't think it's something that you learn when you're in your teens or your 20s, maybe not even in your 30s, but I think in your 40s and upward, you start to realize, you know, maybe I need to put myself in their shoes for a second. I might react the same way. And it's tough to make that realization that the way you think isn't always right. But if we can kind of bend ourselves a little bit to see how somebody else might feel, that it's an advanced way of thinking, but I don't think it's something that young people just do right out of the chute.
No.
It's something that has to be learned learned through experience.
Well, and I think it can be learned through experience, and it can be learned through guidance. I don't think there's a lot of parents that teach this that are deep enough to to really have that conversation. And like, there's so many things like this where I'm always trying to implant these nuggets of wisdom in my daughter where it's like, I get you. We think very similarly on a lot of things. So like, I'm like, we have the same brand of brain. So I can tell you right now, like, I get what you're saying and where you're coming from on something. And it's usually very, it's emotional. It's matter of fact. It's like in the moment. And I try to teach her. It's like, okay, you know, if you got a negative thought going somewhere, you got to find a way of breaking it. Or if you're going to say something like this, take a moment and think about how that person's going to take it. And if I'm trying to teach her early, these are things I didn't quite grasp till like late 20s, early 30s. Always, you know, could see other people doing it, but it wasn't ever ingrained in me. So I'm trying to ingrain this in her early, so it's not such a battle later on. I'm like, you know, it's much harder to go through, you know, a long glass tunnel and then realize after you've gone halfway through, you should have been cleaning it the whole way. And then have to go backwards and do it all.
Yep.
If you just kind of like work on those windows as you grow and go down that hall, when you're down there that many years, you have to go back to the beginning and start trying to clean all over again. Just work on it as you go. It's not going to be perfect, but keep working at it and you'll keep growing. Don't keep going and digging yourself into something where later you're going to be like, shit, nah, I did all these things or I said all these things. And now either I'm going to stay dug in because it's a lot to dig out of, which I think is what a lot of people do. Or just try and correct that as early as possible. I think it's something that can be achieved thinking in a younger person. We just don't do it. We don't give our kids as much credit for what they're capable of understanding and their ways of thinking than they're capable of. They're capable of far more than I think what we put down as the expectation. It's just we don't take the time to hear them out half the time and understand where things are coming from. And then teach them proper ways of dealing with it other than just going, that's wrong. That's horrible. What's wrong with you? And then eventually they grow up and then you just start avoiding them because you don't get along and they're not a very well-rounded person. And you're like, well, and for some, they'll learn and some they won't. Some people will just always be kind of inept to these concepts. But I think more people are able to suck them in and operate on them at an earlier age.
You know, that brings me around to something that you're going to laugh, but Whitney Houston's greatest love of all, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yeah.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. That's exactly what we're fucking talking about.
It is. But the thing is, we went off the fucking deep end and introduced Barney into the world. and we did a little bit too much of that. So I'm all about that. It's more like, you know, just kind of teach them how life works and be there for them through the good and the bad and don't shield them from the bad. Let them experience the bad and then help them navigate how to deal with smaller bad things. So when big bad things happen, they don't self-destruct. And yes, RIP Whitney. So yes, I agree. A good tie into, I believe the children are future. All right. That is going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you guys like the show, be sure to press subscribe there wherever you download podcasts or on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, you can get the show commercial free and get advanced episodes as well. Yes, it's awesome. All you got to do is go to Apple Podcast. That's what the Barney actor does, bod classes. But a podcast, go there, sign up, and get access to all that commercial free. You can go monthly or you can go yearly and get a super big discount there and help keep our program on the air. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My crazy
family.
Family.
My
crazy
family.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.